just as God breathed life into Adam at the very beginning of human existence and formed Adam into his own image by the Holy Spirit's power, so it is that you and I, at this dawn of the new creation in Christ by his death and resurrection, you and I have been recreated. We have been renewed. We have been restored. Recreated, renewed, and restored from the corruption of sin and condemnation to death, so that we can live in grace. We can live in grace and by grace, by God's goodness, to live unto eternal life. Death for the Christian, honestly, is nothing. It's a blink, if you would. It's a movement from this life into something that's far greater. Our bodies die, but what makes us who we are lives. We live forever because of Christ and his grace. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead has been given to all of us as a gift through baptism and confirmation, and that same Holy Spirit is given to us as a free gift to be used the rest of our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit is remarkably strong. At the same time, however, the power of the Spirit relies on our will. It relies on our will to show his strength. In other words, we all have the gift. But what are we going to do with that gift? That's up to us to answer. But the gift is there. If we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our minds, to guide our thoughts, to guide everything that we are, not only do we have life eternal, but we can bring the fullness of God's life here and now to ourselves and to the world as the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Whenever you and I pray, we're praying to God the Father in the name of Christ the Son, but we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Which leads me to ask, and we should all ask ourselves, how often do we come to the Holy Spirit begging him to guide us, asking the Holy Spirit to guard our thoughts and to guard and guide our desires? Do we ever ask the Holy Spirit to give us a deeper love for Christ, a deeper love for the church, a stronger love for one another? Do we ever ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to live the truth by following the commands of Christ Jesus? That we can live in the Spirit always, living the life of Christ, who dwells within us by the same power of that same Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, an advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him." Here's the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of Adam and Eve after they ate the fruit in direct violation of God's command not to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a test of their faith, a test of their love for him. But they went ahead and did what they wanted anyway because it was there. Because they were tempted, so they did what they wanted to do. What happened? They ran and they hid from God. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed of what they had done. God, however, had to go looking for them out of love, to seek them out. All he wanted them to do was say that they were sorry for what they had done, but they refused. They simply blamed each other and blamed the serpent, thus causing a division between God and humanity, human beings and one another, and human beings against nature. So the spirit of the world, the "I'll do things my own way and I'll run away from God," causes nothing but division and ultimately death. But to humbly come before God and to say to him, "Father, we have sinned," earns us mercy. God gives us his grace freely because we by our own free will ask for it. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we in our own free will ask for it. And he gives us life, mercy, forgiveness, and unity and peace. Why? Because we simply come before him humbly and we ask for it. And by this, we simply do what he asks because we love him who loves us and follow his commands. That brings us into a deeper knowledge of God and, of course, of truth. God is the author of all truth. You know him, Jesus says, because he remains with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I am there with you always, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is why St. Peter can tell us, beloved, sanctify Christ. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Is Christ the very reason why we do anything at all? Is he the first thing in our thoughts in the morning? Do we give him thanksgiving at night before going to bed? Do we consecrate all of our day to him, all of our works, our joys, everything? Is Christ the Lord and the Master and the very center of everything that we are and all that we do? Do we sanctify Christ always, asking him to help us by the Spirit to do what he wants us to do? And when we do that, the world's going to ask questions. Why do you go to Mass? Why do you pray? Why do you love those people who don't love you? Why do you help those people who can't do a thing back for you? Why do you have morals? Why can't you live life on your own terms? Why does it have to be God? With gentleness and reverence, we can simply say, because I love Christ. Because I love Christ and because Christ loves me. And we do this not with an air of superiority, but with gentleness and with reverence. Keeping our consciences clear so that when we are maligned by the world, which we will be, those who defame us for our good conduct in Christ bring themselves to shame. Think about that. Think of the people who were very famous 40, 50 years ago. If I ask somebody under the age of 30 or 20, who was Ginger Rogers? Who was Bing Crosby? They've got no clue. These people were famous at one time, but now their names are gone floating off into obscurity. But I ask you who Jesus Christ is. Who's Mary? Who's St. Joseph? Who's St. Anthony, St. Francis? Well, we know who they are. Why? Because their lives reflected Christ. So the way the world dies and withers away to nothing, but the way of Christ lives forever. It is better for us to suffer for doing good here and now, should that be the will of God, than for doing evil. Evil dies, good lives. Why? Because God is good, and God cannot die. God is love, and love cannot die. Christ suffered for sins once. Suffered for our sins, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, to lead us to God, so that by being put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. When you and I put to death the sins of the flesh, we too are brought to life in the Spirit. So that life in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, to live in that Spirit is to live a life of the sons and daughters of God. To live a life of seeking God, of thirsting for God, longing for God. It's seeking and desiring above all else simply to be holy, because the Lord our God is holy. To be like Mary, who gave herself fully to God and brought forth Christ, we are called to be full of grace. Yes, we are called by God to be filled with grace, filled with the very presence of Jesus within us, that you and I can want nothing more than to love God, to serve God, to please God, to do whatever he asks, and never to do anything he forbids, to offer our very lives to be lived in sanctity, in charity, and in peace. Whoever has my commandments and observes them, Jesus says, is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Dear friends, may we live in that love. The love of God given to the Son, the love of the Son given to the Father, that love we call the Holy Spirit, who is poured out on us to make us holy, to make us righteous, and draws us into the life of the Trinity forever.